Final case for argument is 22-1244, In Re Voto. Morning, Mr. Schwab. Whenever you're ready.
I'm Donald Shriver, and I'm arguing on behalf of the appellant, Martin Voto. In this patent application, independent claim one has been rejected under 35 U.S.C. 103 on the basis of a combination of two references. The essence of claim one is that there's a microwave beam that impinges upon a meandering conductive antenna. And that antenna is resonant at a particular frequency included among the microwave beam's frequencies. Impingement of the beam upon the antenna creates a reflected signal that comes back, can be received, and established that the beam struck with this retroreflector. The two references that have been combined apply to what are called radio frequency identification tags, RFID tags. And they have very similar structures in that the references disclose an antenna that is connected to some sort of circuit. In the case of Fink, the circuit is a surface acoustic wave device. It's a passive device, has no transistors in it, but it requires an electrical signal in order to operate and produce some code that goes back to the antenna and from the antenna back to a receiver to say that the RFID tag has been hit by a radio wave.
So what is before the time runs out, what is your main argument with respect to where the board dropped the ball here? Is it because you say there was no indication that these two references would have been combined?
Okay, there's two arguments. One is there is no suggestion to combine the references. Both references standing by themselves work perfectly fine.
But hasn't that train kind of left the station with at least the Supreme Court's opinion?
I'm sorry.
Hasn't that train kind of left the station with the Supreme Court's opinion in KSR, which rejected the need for an explicit suggestion or teaching?
Well, I am no expert on KSR, but the Manual of Patent Examining Procedure still has a section specifically devoted to the need in making a rejection under 103 based on a combination of references that there be some suggestion to combine the references. And
does it have to be expressly stated in one of the references being relied upon for a proposed combination?
That's not entirely clear, but in the facts of this particular case, there is actually an express contradiction between the suggestion identified in the Patent Trial and Appeal Board's decision and which incorporates by reference a suggestion, argument for suggestion in the final rejection. And the argument in the final rejection is inconsistent with the combination of that is being used to reject the claim. And I will.
I believe in the final rejection, the examiner found one would be motivated to combine the references. It'd be obvious to use a meandering conductor in order to gain the benefit of reducing the number of components.
That's correct.
And the board said that was an adequate rationale at the very end of its opinion at A12.
It does adopt that rationale, but the number of components in the combination is greater than the number of the components in the claimed invention. The claimed invention has only the meandering conductor. It has no circuit, either passive or active. And so the rationale, which says it's obvious because it reduces the number of components, is diametrically opposed to the combination with it being used to reject the claim.
Wait, can I understand? You just said that the number of components in the combined prior art is more than the number of components in the claim? Is that what you said? Well, first of all, it's a comprising claim. And second of all, it's a comprising claim. So that means that the claim allows for additional elements. And then my second response to what you've said is, what does that matter? The question is whether it would have been obvious to one of the ordinary skill in the art to modify Fink to have meandering antennas, right? Isn't that the question? And so the board says, yes, it was, because Taki, the secondary reference, said it gives advantages for meandering antennas, right?
The problem with that is the fundamental problem solved in the Takai reference is that when you make these things very small, the antenna impedance is difficult to match with the circuit impedance. And if you go through Takai, you'll find he's constantly emphasizing, as he has perhaps close to a dozen different antenna structures in the reference. And in every instance, he emphasizes that with this structure, you match the impedance of the antenna to the IC, which is creating the identification tag. The reason why you want this impedance matching is that if the impedances are the same, the maximum amount of electrical energy goes from the antenna into the circuit and comes back out of the circuit into the antenna. If the impedances are mismatched, you transfer less energy. It's less efficient.
Did you make this objection to the rejection on the theory that this requirement in Taki, as you say, about impedance matching would be very difficult to do once you substituted a meandering conductor into Fink?
Well, the problem with the impedance match...
I'm sorry, my question is whether you made this argument to the board in your appeal to the board of the examiner's rejection combining Fink and Taki.
I cannot honestly say whether it's in the appeal briefs or not.
Okay, your appeal brief is in the JA, and I didn't see that argument in the brief. And so the challenge I have now as an appellate court in reviewing the fact-finding tribunal is, am I really permitted to conclude that the board here made a reversible error on an issue that was never raised to them? I mean, it's hard for me to blame the board for not doing something when nobody asked the board to address the question.
It may have been an oversight on my part, but my impression is that the time of briefing before the board, the impedance matching, the combination, the significance of the impedance matching was not apparent. Because Fink does not mention impedance anywhere. It's not in Fink at all. So why would one guess that this impedance matching is going to be so significant until one sees the decision of the Board of Appeals, which says we're adopting the rationale that the examiner put in the final rejection, and his rationale is fewer components. But there aren't fewer components. There's more components. So the justification in the examiner's reply brief, in the examiner's final rejection, is diametrically opposed to the combination being made. There's two components required in the examiner's, in the Board of Appeals structure, and there's only one component required in the claimed invention, the resonant antenna. If I stick something else in there, some other component, it's going to screw up the resonance of that antenna. In fact, if you look at Fink, he matches the resonance of the antenna to the integrated circuit by putting additional structures alongside the antenna to influence its characteristics. So anytime you start mixing these things together, you're going to affect the electrical characteristics of the antenna, and it has to be done deliberately and carefully. You just can't plug these things together randomly. And the invention claimed in claim one is significantly simpler as an RFID tag. It's significantly simpler structure and components than the claimed combination. So it's an improvement over the claimed combination. It's cheaper to make and it's easier to make.
Okay, you're into your rebuttal, so why don't we hear from the government and we'll reserve your time.
Good morning. May I please report? This appeal is all about forfeiture. At the board, appellant made essentially three arguments that all focused on the recited limitations. On appeal, the appellant has dropped all of those arguments and now focuses on the motivation to combine the reference. And in the reply brief on appeal, appellant added another new argument asserting that the combination would result in more components. Every argument the appellant raises on appeal is forfeited. Appellant had multiple opportunities to challenge the examiner's finding that there would have been a motivation to combine and did not. And the examiner and the board made the prima facie case, found a motivation to combine the references, and the board did not change the rationale in its decision. It affirmed the examiner, and appellant has not rebutted those findings.
That's what I was going to ask, was I can't remember exactly now, but was there any difference or was there anything added with the board that beyond what the examiner said?
No, Your Honor. And there are two places in the board decision where the board mentions the motivation to combine. One's at Appendix 6 and one's at, I think it's Appendix 11, and just affirming exactly what the examiner said. So we respectfully ask that you affirm the board's decision. If there are no further questions, I will yield the rest of my time.
Thank you. You've got some rebuttal time.
Nothing further to add.
Okay. Well, thank you. Both sides and the cases submitted. That concludes our proceeding for this morning.